As you take a seat this morning, please pull out your outlines that say, "Hate and violence will not own us." And please have your Bibles ready in your lap. You can turn them to Psalm 44 or to 1 Peter 1 to have those ready. What is your response this week to powerlessness? You felt that way recently? You felt the fear and the scare? On October 1st, just 1 week ago today, just after 10 o'clock at night, a story that most of us know very, very well, at a concert venue in Las Vegas, just outside of several hotels, most notably the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino, a shooter opened fire on a crowd of over 20,000 people, killing 58 people and himself. To this point right now, the shooter and his motives are largely unknown. It was an indiscriminate act of evil, of terror. It had no rhyme or reason. It's probably more terrifying for you and I than a terrorist attack, because we know the reasons behind it. To think that someone could stockpile that kind of weaponry and just indiscriminately mow people down makes all of us fearful of going to an outdoor event, of which we are surrounded by in Southern California. Just a few weeks ago, on September 20th, Hurricane Maria, a Category 5 hurricane, crushed Puerto Rico. I don't know if you can see the outline very well on our monitors, but if you look at the eye of that hurricane, what you are looking at is Puerto Rico in the eye of it. That is Puerto Rico, and just to give you, you know, location-wise, that's Florida up there, which most of you will recognize. Look at that hurricane. Category 5, 150-mile-an-hour winds crushed Puerto Rico for 30 hours, dumping 30 to 50 inches of rain on that country. I should call them a province, shouldn't I? Not really a country. It was like a 50 to 60 mile wide tornado that cut through the middle of the island. It is an island of 3.4 million people. And this morning, as we sit in church, 3.1 million people still do not have power. 90% of Puerto Rico does not have power. Many do not have clean water. Many are still suffering. 79 dead, $91 billion in damage. Just weeks before that, August 25th, you look at this picture and you think, where are we? Are we in Manila? Are we somewhere, you know, in a foreign country? That is Houston, Texas right there. That's what that is. Houston, Texas, August 25th to the 27th. Remember that hurricane, Hurricane Harvey, that struck the coast of Texas and moved its way into Houston and then sat there for a couple of days. One of the areas that registered, and I should have mentioned this, Puerto Rico, the area that registers rainfall and wind speed in Puerto Rico, got decimated by the storm. All of those things are estimates in Puerto Rico. Here in Texas, it lasted. They were able to measure in one location over 60 inches of rain over the course of 3 days. 60 inches of rain fell in some parts of Texas, just outside of Houston. Hurricane Harvey killed 84 people. That's just in the United States. And just in the United States, it's estimated that there will be $180 billion. And that number, you know how these numbers are. I don't even know what they measure. That's expected to go up, even exceeding Hurricane Katrina and the cost of Katrina in New Orleans, something that most of us remember well. It's October 8th today, and these three things have happened in the last 6 or 7 weeks. Do you, like me, find yourself crying out to God? Awake! Why are you sleeping, Lord? Rouse yourself. Do not reject us forever. Why do you hide your face? Why do you forget our affliction and our oppression? Our soul is bowed down to the dust. Our belly clings to the ground. Rise up and come to our help. Redeem us for the sake of your steadfast love. There's something about experiencing undeserved or inexplicable evil that produces pain, terror, and fear in all of us. That is a normal response of mankind to experiencing undeserved, inexplicable evil in our midst. The effects of sin in the world. Can I speak to you from the Word of God? The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears toward their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Did you hear that? The face of God is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and he saves the crushed in spirit. I believe that it is normal for us to respond to inexplicable evil in our lives with pain, terror, and fear. I also know that our human responses to pain, terror, and fear are faith revealing. They reveal what we really believe. I got a chance to, it's so good to see John and Michelle here. John and Michelle were at the concert in Vegas. They were out there. They ran. They heard it. They experienced it. They were hiding people in their room from the terrible things that were happening in Las Vegas. Barb Bertram was also there. A lot of you know the Bertrams. And to have friends there and to know how closely, you know, many of us know people that are connected to, or we knew people that were shot or killed out in Las Vegas. Many of us know people in Houston. We have a thriving Christian and Missionary Alliance church in Puerto Rico that has been leveled from the hurricane. Friends that I just was in Colorado with earlier this year from the Puerto Rico church leaders that were there, and were so excited about their new facilities, so excited about ministering to their communities, and those are gone. 90% of all structures in the country are gone, just wiped out. These have been very, very difficult times, and I wonder, what does it produce in you? I talk to people at Starbucks all the time, and they tell me, I'm really concerned about going to an outdoor concert. I'm fearful about being outside. You know, articles in the newspaper, well, the newspaper, what I mean is online, but our is an old phrase there. Many of you don't know what those are. Anyway, news reports talk about a spike on Amazon of parents that are looking for backpacks that double as bulletproof vests so that a kid can swing their backpack around and protect their chest from bullets. We live in an insane world. But despite that, it's an insanely fearful world. We want to protect our children. We want to protect our homes. We want to protect our bodies. We have gone into full fear protection mode. We joke around about when we were all kids and we didn't have to wear seatbelts in the car, and how did we all live, and that kind of thing. And my kids are like, you didn't have to wear seatbelts. That's bizarre. Why would, oh man, that's just horrible that they let you drive around like that. It's like, no, that was freedom. You know, motorcycles, they didn't have to wear helmets at one time either. And the wind was in their hair if they had it. And it was great and it was wonderful. And then they, you know, strapped them in and helmeted them on and, you know, everything else. And just little by little by little by little by little, right, we pretty soon we're going to make people walk around in bubble wrap to make sure they don't get bumped or bruised. We are living in a world that has tremendous violence, tremendous pain, tremendous terror, and the response to that, humanly speaking, is to try to control, 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 control. We want to feel like we've got a handle on this, don't we? We want to feel like we've got our kids safe. We want to feel like we're doing everything we can. We want to make sure that, you know, we don't use the wrong bedding on the bed because that could give my kids some sort of bug that makes them not pay attention in school, and then I got to medicate them, and oh man, what a mess. We just continue down this road. What's been your response? What is your response to Vegas, to Houston, to Puerto Rico? When people ask the obvious question, where is God? Where is God in all of this? Where did he go? Is he asleep? Is he snoozing? What's going on? You say there's a God? You say you're a Christian? You say all of that, but where is he? Why would he allow these kinds of things to happen? Great questions. I hope you talk about them in your growth group. And just in case you weren't going to, I put them into the growth group guide this week. So, Christian, your response, according to the Word of God, matters. How you respond to the things that go on in our culture, how you respond, the way that you lead your family, the way that you go to church, the way that you express Christ at places like Starbucks or Coffee Bean or McDonald's or wherever else that you find yourself, the way that you express your Christianity, your following of Jesus Christ matters. It matters to the world that is around us. I'm not inviting you this morning to cope better, to have better skills at like, oh, I'm going to have good coping skills for bad things that happen. I'm inviting you to live out Christ in your soul, who, when persecuted, committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. Will you bear the wounds of others? Will you bear the pain of others for the sake of the cross? Christ. For you were straying like sheep, but you have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Are you wandering this morning? Are you wandering just beaten senseless from the things that have gone on in this world just in the last 6 weeks? Could I invite you to come back to the shepherd of your soul? Could I invite you back into the sheepfold? Could I invite you back to the example of Jesus Christ? Because there is nothing, my friends, nothing that is quite like the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there is nothing that the world needs to know more than a group of people that are following Jesus and living out that gospel. There is nothing quite like the gospel because there is no one quite like Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Word says. According to His great mercy, He has caused us, you and me, to be born again to a living hope. I want you to see that a future hope is one that is right down line that someday it will happen. A living hope means that we live in the hope right now. The gospel makes a difference, not just for your future. It makes a difference right now, here, today, in this moment. Are you living in the hope of Jesus Christ that comes through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead to an inheritance? Now we're going forward, right? To an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded. You are being guarded by God's power through faith for a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last days. In this you rejoice, though now, just for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, there's a lot of words in those verses. And I know some of you, after I get two verses in, your eyes roll back, you glaze over, and you're like, when is he gonna get done? So let me just say, did you hear that? A living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. A living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, which means he conquered sin, which delivered the conquering of death, which brings life. Do you live like you've got a living hope of being alive because Jesus conquered death and he overcame sin? Is that the life that you live for those that are around you? A living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, no matter what happens in this world. You have a secure inheritance. Don't miss your hope in Jesus. It's why I'll get there. Let me be clear. The power of the gospel comes from Jesus' resurrection from death. We know that Jesus conquered sin on the cross, that the blood of Jesus is what makes all the difference in our lives. But don't miss that without the resurrection from the dead, we would not have confidence that God accepted that offering and then wiped out all of the effects that sin has, which is primarily in our lives, it is death that is the thing that strikes the most fear into you and I. It is the thing that we avoid and all that is associated with it. Pain, suffering, difficulty. We run like all holy hell from that kind of stuff. And it's all rooted right here in a fear of death. We train our children that way. I've told you before, our children had it was like a magical line. They would go running after a ball that had gone into the street. They would go running and they would see the blacktop and they would stop and just literally, like their arms were flailing and their feet had become rooted, because we had taught them, you must stop at the black. You got to stop when you see blacktop. You cannot go on it. Sometimes there would be blacktop in odd locations and our kids would just be standing there. It's okay. You can walk on that. We train our children from the time they are very young to avoid anything that could hurt them, that could cause them pain. And then the gospel comes along and says, absorb the pain of others. Live like Jesus, to where you put yourself right into the line of fire on behalf of other people. And yes, it could cost you your life, just like it did Jesus. But you have an inheritance that is way greater than this. Live for something greater than your own safety, the gospel says. When I was a single 18-year-old guy, that was no problem. Now I'm a married guy with children and responsibilities and bills, and it's harder. I'll be totally straight up. That is a harder gig to follow. I've prayed the prayers, God, use my family, use my children in any way you want. And then I choke on that prayer a little bit, realizing that having a child that could be a martyr for the sake of the gospel would break me. But over time, and probably with maturity, I hope, and with a deepening trust in Jesus Christ, I have come to conclude that there is nothing, not even my blood family, that is quite as great as the gospel of Jesus. It all belongs to Him. I trust Him. If I heard shots ring out in Las Vegas, I would run. I don't know how I would respond in that. I was talking to John Moses this last week about that, how he responded, what it was like for him. I mean, John's the target, you know, he's a big guy. You were wearing a white hat and a red, white, and blue shirt, too. A target. I can't imagine what it would be like to be in that environment. But know this for sure, if I die today, I die at peace with where I am going. I do not die with sorrow in my heart. I die with a satisfaction of having lived in on this side of heaven for Jesus Christ and on that side of heaven with Him face to face. No longer dimly, like it says in 1 Corinthians. I now see Him face to face. I'd like to believe that there would be no terror in death. I'd like to believe that I would be fine. And I don't know that. I'm not looking to find out, actually. However, just know that in my soul, no matter what happens, I believe that the gospel is the single most important thing for this world, for my kids, for my wife, for my friends, for this church, for all of it. And I will live and die for it. And that's what Jesus has called us to do. So when catastrophic events happen around the world and they are out of control, Christian, do not throw up your hands and ask, where is God? Because God is looking at you in whom He dwells and says, where are you going to take me to show the world the hope that I have poured right into the middle of your life? You are those hands and feet. You are the only Jesus that some people will ever know. If you post on your Facebook page or your Instagram page, I'm praying for people. I commend you. But there is a part of me that agrees with those very hostile, very mean, oftentimes swearing people that are like, hey, where was God? Why do you bother praying? It doesn't do anything. Do not forget that with your prayer is a responsibility to do something. I don't care if you give a buck. I don't care if you help out people that have been disenfranchised by situations. I don't care how you do it. But Christian, do not just sit and pray and think that's what the Bible asked me to do. That's just the beginning of what the Bible asks us to do. We're the hands and feet of Jesus. Let's do that. Let's be that. Let's go after that. I don't think there's a one of us that hasn't walked by a neighbor and said, hey, did you see that Vegas thing? Crazy, isn't it? It is not very difficult to get into a conversation. It is not very hard to sit with your fellow man and be horrified by what's going on. But you have the hope of Jesus and His resurrection. And we should speak it and live it for those that are around us. Death is swallowed up in victory, Paul wrote. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, which Jesus conquered. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast. Do you hear that? Be steady, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Follower of Christ, hear me clearly. Not because of pain and terror and evil in the world, but because Jesus Christ lives in you. This is your moment. People are asking important questions. They want to know what's really going on in the heavens and on earth. Christian, this is your moment. Colossians 1:27. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I'm plucking this verse out of several, which I hate to do, so I'm going to explain it just a little bit by putting brackets in. When I put brackets in, I'm adding them, okay? Like, this isn't in the original text. To them, he's speaking of us. So this is something that God has chosen to make known to us. Okay, so to us, God chose to make known how great amongst the Gentiles. The Gentiles are all the people that at one time didn't. They weren't following God. And now God is revealing himself to them. And so that's also us. To us, God chose to make known how great amongst us are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ. Now he's turning to the reader and he's saying, it's Christ in you, which is us. This is all about us. This verse is about you and me. God has chosen to reveal the riches of his glory, and that is Christ in you. You are the hope of glory. This is not hope in a political system. This is not hope in the future. Like, let's hope in the future. What is that future? Let's be as ambiguous as possible so nobody can nail it down. This is not just some Pollyanna hope that's out there in outer space. This is hope in Jesus, who guarantees your future and says, no matter what you suffer here, you're good. You're good because I've got you, and I'm using you, and your life's going to count for something when it counts for the gospel. Christ is alive in you. That makes a difference. Display the hope of glory in the face of pain, terror, and fear. Do the events in Puerto Rico and down in Houston and throughout Texas, and now there's another hurricane landing this morning that's made landfall down there, Florida, somewhere down there. The events in Las Vegas from just under a week ago. What captivates you in these things? What holds you? Could I offer up, as it says in Hebrews chapter 6, that Jesus Christ is an anchor to our souls. And as that anchor, he steadies you and reorients your sight, not on to the horror and the tragedy of the human life. Some of the comfort's been stripped away, hasn't it? Some of the niceties been removed. Some of the things that you took for granted have just been replaced by indiscriminate evil that is not choosing an individual, but it's just lashing out in general. We don't even know why certain things are happening. It feels like we are so out of control, but Christ is alive in you. Out of anyone in this world that should respond as one that is anchored to the truth, it is you, it is me, it is us. And that hope can overcome great evil. That hope, in the face of all that is opposed to mankind, that kind of hope can change the world. Again, I invite you to be a world changer. It is Christ in you. Father God, we come to you this morning and we pray that, Father, you would heal the wounds of this land. God, that you would heal the wounds in our hearts. Father, I cannot imagine the terror and the difficulty of what it means to be an overcomer from these types of traumas and these types of situations. And so, Father, we pray specifically that you would pour out the hope of Jesus onto those that are directly and indirectly affected. God, I pray that we would not be a community that lives in just increasing fear and more bubble wrapping of the fragility of who we are, but that, God, we as followers of Christ would run into the battle. That we would run into the battle knowing that we belong to you. And that nothing on this earth or in the heavens or anywhere else will ever separate us from the goodness and the righteousness and the love and the resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank you, God. It's in the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let's stand and worship him together.